Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We're talking about California's Proposition 36, which is similar to the revision of Oregon's Measure 110 that went into effect in September. The revision recriminalized possession of small amounts of drugs, but also funded treatment programs for drug offenders. Prop 36 is similar, but with some distinct components. You can share your comments or questions at jx@jeffnet.org. To help us learn more is my guest, Claire Semenich, with Vera California. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
So I want to learn more about Prop 36 from your perspective, but first, let's learn a little bit more about you.
Sure. Thank you, Mike. So my name is Claire Semenich. I'm the Associate Director at Vera California. Vera is actually a national research institution. We provide research, data, and advocacy around the types of solutions that will keep our community safe and healthy. We oppose mass incarceration and work towards building communities that are safe for all, including immigrants and across racial justice lines. I'm a former federal public defender based in Los Angeles, and I'm excited to talk to you today.
All right, so let's dive right in. What is Prop 36?
Sure. So Prop 36 is a one-size-fits-all false promise of a ballot proposition that's going to be on Californians' ballots this November. It would add longer, harsher, three-strike-style punishment for low-level, nonviolent offenses across California. The problem is, in doing so, it would cost Californian taxpayers millions every year, and it would strip funding from the types of programs that are proven to keep communities safe and healthy.
What do you mean by three strikes?
I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
What do you mean by three strikes?
Yeah, so under Prop 36, if somebody's possessing a small amount of drugs for their own personal use, three times or more, they could go to jail or prison for up to 3 years. So it brings us back to an era of mass incarceration in California when our prisons were overcrowded and when we were using harsh punishments like this. And Mike, I want to take a brief moment to talk about some of the differences, actually, between Prop 36 and Measure 110, since the intro mentioned that. So Prop 47, which was a criminal justice reform measure on the ballot in 2014, which was very popular and very effective in California, it actually did not decriminalize drug use. And I think it's important to say that at the outset, and that people are making these decisions based on facts and based on the data.
Okay.
In California, we already have harsh punishments for things like drug possession. People can go to jail for up to a year. What Prop 36 would do is just increase these punishments, make it likely that people are more likely to spend more time in jail, where they're up to 120 times more likely to overdose. So I just think it's important for listeners in Jefferson, especially given people's familiarity with Measure 110, to know that this is actually quite different because it's taking what's already real accountability and penalties for drug use, for drug sales, and it's just ratcheting those punishments up at the same time that it's stripping funding for the treatment programs that are both more cost-effective and proven effective to keep our communities safe.
So what I understand is that Prop 36 will create a felony out of a drug possession crime that used to be a misdemeanor. Is that correct?
Yeah. So under current law, people can go to jail for drug possession in California for up to a year. This would make it so that if people have multiple drug possessions or drug-related crimes, they can go to jail or prison for up to 3 years.
Okay. So is that the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony?
One of them, yes. One of the other differences is some of the pretty tough consequences that happen if somebody has a felony on their record. So, for example, it can affect your employment opportunities, people's civil rights and liberties, people's abilities to vote in some states. And I want to give an example here of somebody that we've worked with. Her name is Pam Thompson. She's somebody who has struggled with incarceration and cycles of incarceration in her life. She actually was previously arrested before Prop 47 passed in 2014. She came out of jail, and because of some of these consequences, the lack of employment opportunities when you have a felony on your record, she just wasn't ever able to find her footing. She wasn't able to get housing. She wasn't able to get a job. She wasn't able to get these things that we know keep us safe and stable. And she ended up falling back into crime and going back to prison again. She got back out after Prop 47 passed in 2018. And then there were services in place to help people like her, people who might have had felony convictions on their record, get job programs, get training, get the things that get them on their feet. And her situation was very different. Today, she's a case manager that helps people with drug treatment, helps people get jobs. And I think that's a really good demonstration of not only some of the harsh consequences of something like a felony conviction in terms of undermining somebody's ability to get a job, but also the types of programs and services that Prop 36 would cut, which is these services that help people get jobs, even if they have a record.
Well, it's interesting because I talked with someone on the other side, a city councilor up in Redding, with 30 years in law enforcement, California Highway Patrol. He says that they want to help people too, and that the measure would actually compel people who are drawn up into this to go to drug court. And if they successfully pass through whatever the processes are in drug court, then their that felony is expunged from their record, so it wouldn't affect them. Do you see it that way?
No. The problem with that premise and the problem with the false promise of Prop 36 is that they're saying that they're offering folks a choice between drug treatment on the one hand and prison on the other hand. But at the same time, Prop 36, according to research, would cut up to $100 million per year in funding for that drug treatment. So Prop 36 would not add any funding for drug treatment. It would only cut funding for drug treatment. And so this choice that they're supposedly offering between drug treatment and prison, it's not going to be a choice at all, because there's going to be fewer resources for anybody to participate in drug treatment, whether they're mandated to do so by the courts or whether they're the people who are raising their hands and saying they're ready for treatment. We also know that drug treatment takes multiple tries, that people often have relapses in between, and that mandated treatment simply doesn't work for many people. And so the problem with Prop 36 is that it's going to cut resources, force people to end up in prison. And the problem with that is that prison and jail increases the risk of things like overdose by up to 129%.
Well, I want to talk to you about the popularity of Prop 36. But first, I just want to remind the audience, I'm talking with Clara Simonich with Vera California. She and her organization oppose California's Prop 36. We welcome your questions and comments at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Claire, the recent poll taken about Californians' attitudes toward or against Prop 36 shows that 58% of Californians favor Prop 36. Why do you think it's so popular?
I think Californians are understandably and rightfully frustrated by a feeling that there are some real problems in our community. And those problems are real. The opiate crisis and people struggling with overdose, that's very real. We look around in our communities and we see more people struggling with housing. We see more people struggling with behavioral health needs and mental health care needs and drug needs in our community. And we want to live healthy and stable lives. And the problem with Prop 36 is that it's offering a false promise that's not going to add any solutions to address these issues. What we need instead of Prop 36 is things like cutting off the flow of fentanyl across the border, or investing in local businesses so that they have the security measures that they need and the staffing and the well-paid retail workers that they need to make sure that we're not experiencing retail theft in a way that's proven effective.
So, you'd like to see more efforts upstream rather than downstream.
Exactly. So if we think about something like online marketplaces, Mike, if we think about things like eBay and Amazon, these are places that we see stolen goods being resold. This is why there's a profit incentive to steal. And if we're wasting what's estimated to be $5 billion more per year on jail and prison because of Prop 36, and that's on top of the $27 billion that we already spend on that in California, we're going to have that much less money to do things like investigate Amazon and investigate eBay and cut down on stolen goods on those online marketplaces so that there isn't a profit incentive to steal. That's going to be much more cost effective, much more targeted, and it's going to work in a way that Prop 36 simply won't.
So you would like the money that's being invested in warehousing people to be redirected toward prevention.
Exactly. And to things that are proven by the data, by the research to work. Things like civilian first responders, drug testing strips, naloxone to prevent overdoses, and expanding treatment options, not reducing them.
So what is the argument for Prop 36 that is just convincing a majority of the Californians to pass it? And what do you expect is going to happen if Prop 36 does pass?
If Prop 36 passes, what we're going to see is just much less resources in our communities, much less treatment for drug use, much less funding for services for homelessness prevention, housing, affordable jobs, affordable housing, and good jobs. And I want to mention quickly here that these are services and programs that are provided to counties across the state, including in Humboldt, in Eureka, in Siskiyou, and Shasta. All of these places have funding right now for example, drug treatment recovery centers that's going to be cut if Prop 36 passes. And so what I'm really worried about is that the thing that seems popular about Prop 36, which is addressing the needs for drug use treatment, addressing the needs for good jobs, addressing the needs for housing services for people. If Prop 36 passes, those things are all going to be even further out of reach. And so that's our big concern with Prop 36.
So Prop 36 was a pendulum swing because Prop 47 didn't work. Why didn't Prop 47 work?
I would disagree, Mike. Prop 47 was effective. Prop 47 funded the types of programs that really provided the care and effective treatment that we need in our communities. And we studied this. I'm not just saying that as a matter of opinion. I'm saying it as a matter of research and data. We studied the effectiveness of Prop 47-funded programs in LA County, for example. And here I want to point to the effectiveness of programs and services as opposed to prison and incarceration. According to our research, people who went through Prop 47-funded programs in LA County, they had a rearrest rate after going through these programs of just 10%. What you need to compare that to is the rearrest rate for people coming out of prison in California. That rate is more than three times higher, 42%. And so what the research actually shows, Mike, is that Prop 47 was effective. It did provide these proven effective programs that work to prevent crime before it happens, that work to provide people good jobs, affordable housing, and the treatment that they need, and that prison is much less effective at providing the stability and safety that we need.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. That's all the time we have for the exchange today. Thank you for joining us, Claire.
Thank you.
My guest is Claire Simonich with Vera California. They have a lot of great data about the success of Prop 47. Unfortunately, the folks marketing Prop 38 are winning in the polls, or Prop 36, rather, are winning in the polls. You can find these conversations and more at jeffexchange.org, or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Natalie Golay is our senior producer, and Andrew Krakow is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us, and have a nice day.